Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on in 2 Samuel. We're up to the 14th chapter. And we're really not doing a study of 2 Samuel, but we're looking at the life of David, which is found in these Old Testament passages. So in 2 Samuel 14, verse 1 says this, "Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom." So we've seen Joab being woven in and out of the story, have we not? He's very much a part of the life right here. And Joab is always described the son of Zeruiah, just in case you forget who he is and which son, which Joab this is. This is literally David's nephew. It's his sister's boy. And he's over the army. And he perceives, he's a very shrewd guy. We've seen this already. He perceives that the king's heart, David, that it was inclined toward Absalom. Well, Absalom is his son. Absalom is actually now, as far as the genealogy and who's born, the heir apparent. Why is that? Well, the second one in line apparently had died. We're simply not told. The first in line, Absalom had killed, or had killed, I'll put it that way. So Joab's aware of this. He's aware that David's heart is inclined toward his son. Well, you say, well, wouldn't every father's heart be inclined toward his son? Yeah, yeah. Well, boy, Absalom done some serious stuff right here. Verse 2 says this, "So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, 'Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now, and do not anoint yourself with oil, but be like a woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then go to the king and speak to him in this manner.'" So what in the world is Joab doing here? Excuse me, I'm choking myself up. Well, we don't know yet. We haven't finished the account. Just pay attention to what's happening. He sends to Tekoa. He sends off a little bit further away. Brings a wise woman. This is no fool. So she knows what's going on. He brought somebody who would be able to do what he wants her to do. What does he want her to do? He wants her to pretend. He says it at the very beginning. And he asks very nicely, "Please pretend." Please pretend what? Pretend to be a mourner. Someone who has been in mourning. And he tells her what to do. Put on the mourning garments, okay? Don't anoint yourself with oil. In other words, it's going to be an odoriferous experience. You're going to be able to tell that she hasn't anointed herself with oil. But be like a woman who's been mourning for the dead many days. Not just a day or two or three, but many days. Be like that kind of woman. Then, when you get to that point, I want you to go to the king. And I want you to speak in this manner. The rest of verse 3 says this. So Joab put the words in her mouth. He told her what he wanted her to say. Well, what was it? Well, we're about to find out. Hang on. Verse 4. "Now when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, 'Help, O king!' The king said to her, 'What is your trouble?' And she answered, 'Truly, I am a widow, for my husband is dead. Your maidservant had two sons, but the two of them struggled together in the field, and there was no one to separate them. So one struck the other and killed him. Now behold, the whole family has risen against your maidservant. And they said, hand over the one who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also. Thus they will extinguish my coal which is left, so as to leave my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth.'" So this is the exact thing that Joab told her to say to the king. So you caught the story right there, right? had two sons. They got in a fight. The husband was dead. There was no one to reconcile between them. That's what, literally, no one to deliver between the two of them. That's what the Hebrew means. Nobody to separate him. One of them struck the other one and killed him. Now the family is wanting her to hand over his brother to put him to death because he killed his brother. But she doesn't want to do that because it'll destroy the heir. It'll extinguish the coal. It'll extinguish the life that is left in her because now she's not going to have a husband. She's not going to have a name or anything left of a family on the face of the earth. Verse 8. Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." The woman at the Tekoah said to the king, "Oh, my lord, the king, the iniquity is on me and my father's house, but the king and his throne are guiltless." And so, boy, she's playing it up, is she not? So the king said, "Whoever speaks to you, bring him to me, and he will not touch you anymore." Then she said, "Please let the king remember the Lord your God, so that the avenger of blood will not continue to destroy. Otherwise, they will destroy my son." And he said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Now, that whole avenger of blood is a really interesting thing. And it's part of the Levitical law, part of the Mosaic law, that if someone kills somebody, particularly with intent like this, but even accidentally, that someone within the family could avenge them. The Lord gave them, I want to say it was six cities. There were six cities that if you kill somebody or accidentally kill somebody like that, manslaughter, you could go to that city, and as long as you stay in that city, you were safe. The avenger of blood couldn't touch you. But if you stepped outside the city limits of that place, and the avenger of blood was there, in other words, the hit man for the family, if they were there, they had every right to execute judgment upon you. And she was concerned about that. Then verse 12, then the woman said, she's still talking to the king, "Please, let your maidservant speak a word to my lord, the king." And he said, "Speak." And the woman said, "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is as the one who is guilty, and that the king does not bring back his banished one. For we will surely die and are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but plans life so that the banished one will not be cast out from him." Now, the reason, this is still the woman talking. "Now, the reason I have come to speak this word to my lord, the king, is that the people have made me afraid. So your maidservant said, 'Let me now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will perform the request of his maidservant.' For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy both me and my son from the inheritance of God." Then your maidservant said, "Please, let the word of my lord, the king, be comforting. For as the angel of the Lord, so is my lord, the king, to discern good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you." David said, "No, huh?" Verse 18. Then the king answered and said to the woman, "Please do not hide anything from me that I'm about to ask you." And the woman said, "Let the Lord my king speak." Because he's sitting there going, "Well, where did this come from? I just sort of got set up." So the king said, "Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" "Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" And that's the first part of verse 19. Now, I really wasn't planning on getting this far, but I'm glad we did, because it's sort of a long story. You see what's happening. So in the next episode, we'll see how the woman responds. Again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time, and I'll see you soon. Goodbye.